said I was going to pick up with the abolition of death, and I fully intend to. In fact, I'm doing it now, as I speak. I'm picking up with it. The abolition of death. I love that topic. I hate death. I love the topic of death being abolished. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Jesus Christ abolishes death. Wow. Is that a revelation? Yeah, it is for a lot of people. Yeah, because they have this little irritating doctrine that drives people away from the Christian church in droves. Namely that, are you ready for this? It's glorious. It's so lovely. It's the thing you're supposed to think about, right? Paul says, whatever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is good report, think on these things. How about this? The main message of the Christian religion, death is eternal. Actually, if you believe in annihilation, you believe death is eternal. It's actually worse in most Christian churches. Some Christian churches believe in annihilation, that unbelievers are going to be stamped out, squashed forever. It's a great teaching, wonderful. It reflects well on the saving power of Jesus Christ. But how about this? That's not bad enough. Let's make people alive for eternity and make them writhing in flames, and they want to die, but by some stupendous miracle, God keeps them alive. Forget the miracle that could give them faith. How easy would that be? You have faith. That's how God gives faith. Here's how it sounds. Are you ready for this? This is God giving somebody faith. Watch this. Yeah, it's a breathing of his spirit. Spirit is like breath, right? God breathes. Yeah, he breathed into Adam in the garden like this. It was more a deeper tone, like, that was God breathing life into Adam. But then he gives faith. It's a higher pitch. It happens later. It's an additional measure of spirit. And it's an additional measure of spirit added to the spirit that causes you to stand on your two feet, because everybody has a measure of the spirit. And now the spirit of God comes on you additionally, and it causes you to believe in him. So that's how easy it is for God to give somebody extra measure of spirit that will make them believe in him. But instead, he works this really tough miracle. How do I keep people alive forever? He could have given them faith and then they wouldn't be in eternal torment. But instead, he works this super, super duper miracle that keeps them alive in flame, which is very hard for a human to do, but God figures out a way to do it. And then he works it for eternity. You know, if he gives you faith, all you have to do is do it once, and you have it, and then, yeah, you're a believer for eternity. But instead, he works day and night for eternity, keeping people alive in flames so that they can be tormented, which satisfies him. It's the perfect love of God, so I hear. I think that's a sick message, and we're not here to talk about that. I've spent too much time talking about it already, but I suppose part of my charge is to expose and rebuke the insanity of the Christian religion, the eternality of death. Death is eternal. That's their message. And it, again, that's the best thing you can say about it if you believe in annihilation. But some people are the living dead. We have billions of zombies. But no. 2 Timothy, turn away from that horror, that nightmare, and turn to the truth. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, Paul exhorts his charge here, Timothy, to suffer evil with the evangel in accord with the power of God who saves us and calls us with a holy calling, not in accord with our acts. If it was in accord with our acts, we'd be in big trouble. But in accord with his own purpose and the grace which is given to us in Christ Jesus before times aeonian, yet now is being manifested through the advent of our Savior Christ Jesus, who indeed abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Listen to this. Paul said, he talks about how Christ abolishes death, yet illuminates life and incorruption. Illuminates, that's what we're doing. I'm illuminating for you life, not death, and incorruption, not corruption, through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. You will only read of the abolition of death in the letters of Paul. I used to think it was crawling everywhere in Scripture, but no, this was a special revelation that death itself is going to be abolished. Even in the last book of the Bible, in Book of Revelation, death is still in operation. We think that it's because it's the last book in the Bible that it's the last thing God has to say. And in the book of Revelation, yes, we have a new Jerusalem. We have a wonderful new eon. We have a new earth, a new Jerusalem on the new earth. We have a new heavens. But there are still those in the second death, which is the lake of fire. There's no more dying on that new earth, but death is still in existence. And so John does not go as far as the Apostle Paul does. The Apostle Paul shows us a time before the eons, were called before the eons began, separated with a holy calling before time's aeonian, as we talked about yesterday, and now he shows us a consummation of the eons, what the eons are going to produce, and how at the consummation of the eons, death is going to be abolished. You can read that in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 21 through 28, specifically verse 26. Love that. Boy, I got a lot to want to cover tonight. Let's go to the next verse. He abolishes death, and yet illuminates life and incorruption through the evangel, of which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher of the nations, for which cause I am suffering these things also. Paul was suffering greatly for teaching what he did, but I'm not ashamed, for I'm aware whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he is able to guard what is committed to me for that day. Why would Paul say that he is able to guard what is committed to me? Because God was the only one taking note of what Paul was doing. Everyone had forsaken him. The thing that was committed to Paul, this amazing message of grace, this message that death is going to be abolished, and in case you haven't followed this through, if death is abolished, there's nothing left but life. At the consummation of the eons, when death is abolished, everyone is made alive in Christ Jesus, that God may be all in all, 1 Corinthians 15:28. And Paul is the only bringer of this message. That's why I don't want you to go over this too quickly in 2 Timothy here, 1 verse 10, who abolishes death through the evangel of which I was appointed a herald. He abolishes death, and you're only going to get that through the evangel of Paul. I know this is startling. You're not going to find death abolished in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You will not read of this tremendous event that, frankly, I would have put on a rolling marquee, and I would have had fanfare. I would have blazoned it up in the sky like those Hollywood searchlights. But Paul just mentions it in passing here. It's much more highlighted and emphasized in 1 Corinthians 15:26. But nobody liked hearing that message then, and nobody likes hearing it now, because nobody likes to hear that unbelievers are going to be where they are someday eventually. People want to see other people get what's coming to them. That's why this message of Paul, the abolition of death, the eventual abolition of death, and the grace, that's why, again, this message is rejected. So God is able to guard it, and it's committed to Paul, and God is able to guard it. He keeps Paul safe. Do you notice that? All the treachery Paul endured, all the hardships, the shipwrecks and everything, God still guarded him, saved his life, and kept him. And even when Paul lost his life, that which he had accomplished was kept for him. I want you to be encouraged by this. All the things you do, all the truth that you hold, and all the frustrations you've endured trying to share this, trying to bring this truth, it's guarded. You do have a call. You have been committed this message. And even though all might forsake you, Paul was encouraging himself that God was able to guard what was committed to him. People cannot lay you waste. They can attempt to. They can attempt to lay you waste. And they can attempt to disregard you. They can disregard you. And they can say that your message belongs in the ash heap. Yet I want you to encourage yourself the way Paul encouraged himself. I am persuaded that he, capital H, is able to guard what is committed to me for that day. I want to go on here because he's telling Timothy the same thing. I love this theme of guarding. This is important to know because we're under assault. And you think that that the enemy's going to take everything from you. But no, God is able to guard it. And even though it might appear that it's being taken from you, even though it might appear that it's about to be lost, it's not. Now, Paul says to Timothy in verse 13, have a pattern of sound words. I got to get into this probably tomorrow. Monday. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. The ideal thing committed to you, guard through the Holy Spirit, which is making its home in us. So Paul committed an ideal thing to Timothy, and I believe that ideal thing was teaching. He committed it. Paul committed his same call to Timothy. And again, Paul's concern here in 2 Timothy is that this word would continue on, and he's telling Timothy to guard it. And this is, I need to exhort you to do this as well. But Martin, you just said that God is able to guard. Yes, God is able to guard. This is the absolute and the relative again. Okay, I exhort you to guard it. And so you do what you can to make sure that nothing comes between you and what God has committed to you. Remember how seductive I told you that the human philosophies are? And we're to keep ourselves from teaching which would corrupt the pure teaching of Christ. So in this sense, we guard ourselves. But we cannot do it unless God guards it. What's that Old Testament verse? Unless God protects a city, the guards guard it in vain. I'm paraphrasing it. So you can guard the city, but unless God is behind you guarding it for you, your guarding is going to be worthless. It's the absolute relative, like Philippians 2, 12, 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God operating in you. This is God that's guarding this thing. God is guarding it, so you can't lose it. However, having said that, now, Timothy, I'm telling you to guard it. I'm telling you to play an active role. Play an active role in protecting this precious, special gift that you've been given. And as Paul exhorts Timothy, I am exhorting you. Guard what you have. Don't treat this gift lightly, of this truth you have, of the abolition of death through the cross of Christ, that eventually all are going to be reconciled to him through this gospel which Paul taught. I want you to guard that, and I want you to keep it free from any distraction, from any false teaching. I don't want you to go to church. I don't want you to go somewhere where you can receive a bad influence. So I'm going to exhort you, as Paul exhorts Timothy, guard it. Treat it for what it is, a precious gift, this truth that is given to you. But know all the time, know the whole way through. And I'm telling you this, I am persuaded. I, Martin Zender, I'm persuaded that God is able to guard that which is committed to you for that day. What day is he talking about? The day when this thing that is hidden in us, this walk that is hidden and despised, is going to be manifested. We are going to be manifested as sons of God that day. He's able to guard the work that you've done. He's able to guard what you believe. He's able to guard this precious thing that is mocked, that is ridiculed, and that you wonder, why was I given this truth? Isn't ignorance better? No, it's not. It's not better, and you're going to be glad that you're not ignorant in that day. And that day is the day of revelation of the hidden things, and what you are in Christ will be shown to the universe. It's going to be a magnificent time, and I'm trying to encourage myself as I'm encouraging you. These are dark days. They're literally dark days. It's winter where I'm speaking to you from. The days are short. It gets dark early. It's cold. It tends to be depressing. The eon we live in is depressing. Bad things happen to us. Hold fast. Guard it with the last ounce of faith you have. And that ounce of faith that you have left, it's good enough and it's God-given. God is able to guard it, and I want you to guard it too. This has been Martin Zender. Thank you for being on board here with me. I'm not so lonely knowing that you guys are out there. I love you all, and have a great weekend. I'm going to be back here Monday talking about a pattern of sound words and lots of other stuff.